Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1 has been our text. This is from the God's Words translation. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Faith is being confident of what we expect, convinced of what we don't see. So much of our life is lived in the realm of we live by how we feel, we live by what we see, but faith is things that are not seen and not felt. And so as in your life, sometimes again, we live in a world that thinks it's all feelings, it's all sight, but it's not. And so what we're doing is learning how, what the scripture says, to walk by faith and not by sight. And when it says not by sight, we're talking about not by feelings as well. So I'm going to read a story tonight of a lady, and maybe you've read this before. It's out of the book of Mark. If you read Bible 365 with us, then you will have read. If you'll read that, you'll read through the New Testament in a year, and that's reading 5 days a week, and so only a chapter a day. It really is only a chapter a day. And if you go here, the Ark, everyone does it. This is what we do. And so here's the scripture, Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 31, New King James. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" Is that it? Well, looks like I gave them the wrong. This is just my night. Time out. Technical difficulty. His disciples said, "Oh, this is a Bible." I know some of you are digital, but this is like the real one, the old. His disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Good story. Great story for faith. So let's look at her story for a little bit. We can see some things here. She's a lady that believed God. We don't know her name. The Bible never tells us what her name is. Sometimes it'll give you a name. Sometimes it just keeps going. So she's unknown, but she's in a bad situation. She had a problem that was long term. She had a situation for years, 12 years. That's a long time. And it wasn't getting better, it was getting worse. So you can see her situation's becoming dire. And not only that, she's got a financial problem because she's already spent all the money that she's had on doctors. You know, and doctors in that day didn't have the advantages that we have today, and so they would try all kinds of things. You know, there used to be a time when doctors felt like if you had a problem, they would cut you, and they felt like if you bled the problem out, it would help you. There was a time also where they actually put leeches on you, and leeches would suck the blood. I actually think, though, there's some medicinal qualities in that, although I'm not a candidate, so I just. But they had all kinds of things that they do, and it wasn't helping her. She was trying everything. And she wasn't getting better. She was getting worse. But there's something that we can see in with this little lady is she had a desire to live. She had to have some fight. If she would just simply say, I'm gonna keep going to doctor after doctor after doctor because I want to get better. And you say, well, Alan, isn't that a given? I mean, doesn't everyone have that? No. Not everyone does. And sometimes you'll see people lose the fight or lose the desire to fight. And so one of the things we have to understand is there not only has to be a desire to get better, there has to be a willingness to act. to get better. Now, there's a verse here in Proverbs. Proverbs 21 said, despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. And as I was reading that, yeah, there's truth to that. If you have someone that has big plans, big dreams, and won't work, it's not going to happen. But I really think oftentimes that people lose a desire to fight and lose some of that fight in spirit because they've simply lost heart. And how many brokenhearted people who are out there and you're looking at them going, get up and fight. And they've lost heart. They've become hopeless. And so, man, this is one of the reasons that church is important, is because when you come in here, you'll notice the atmosphere is different. When you worship, it's different. And it can inject hope into a hopeless situation. And you may come in thinking, man, there's no way I'm going to make it. But I'm telling you, if you'll stay with it, if you'll stay with God, He has the ability to get some hope on the inside of you. And you get some hope on the inside of you, and it will put the fight back in you. And you got to have a little bit of fight. And this lady, I give her credit. When you see her in heaven, you got to commend her because she's got some fight to her. But she heard of Jesus. Faith comes by hearing. You know this in Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She had to have heard that Jesus had healing power in him. So how do you know that? Because of what she did and what she said. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. You know, Jesus, there was a time, I believe it was in Mark chapter 6, where you see Jesus go through an area, and he had just gone to his hometown. His hometown pretty much rejected him. Remember his hometown? Jesus showed up. They're like, we know you. Know your sisters. Work with your brother down at the Home Depot. We know you. We know who you are. And they really didn't receive Jesus because he was a hometown boy. And so don't feel bad if some of your old friends and your family do not believe you. It happened to Jesus. It can happen to you. They'll look at you and go, I changed your diapers. Or, my friend's like, we used to party together. You've gotten just too good. You're too good now. You ought to go, Yeah, but I didn't change myself. It was the Lord that changed me. And so I just lost my desire to do that. And so but listen, some will reject, but some will follow you straight in. So this is a great time to reach friends. But Jesus went to across the lake, and across the lake, he saw these people. They recognized Jesus coming out of the boat, and they went, oh, it's Jesus. And they ran up to him. This is just across the lake. They ran up to him and they said, look, Jesus, we're just going to lay the sick people out in the street. And all you have to do, you don't even have to stop. Lord, you don't have to stop. You don't have to lay hands on them. All you have to do is walk by and let us touch the hem of your garment and we'll be healed. And that's exactly what happened. They're dragging sick people out in the road and in the marketplaces. And Jesus just walks by and they're just touching and getting healed. So this lady must have heard, this guy has got healing power in him. Faith comes by what you hear. Now, as I was studying this today, this really came up in me strong. What you hear is so important. Mark 4th chapter, verse 24, look at what Jesus said. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given, and you will receive even more. Now, what kept coming to me today, and so I really think this is just a word for someone, maybe a lot of someones. There's a lot of availability to hear a lot of people today. When I grew up, the internet was not really in vogue. Some of you have grown up, and the internet's always been there. I think in the 90s, early 90s, I started picking up on it, and I remember I became a hero with joy when, about 1994, I did all the Christmas shopping online. And Joy thought I was the greatest thing in the world because she didn't have to go stand in line at Walmart to get anything. But the internet hasn't always been there, but it's there now. And you can go hear, there's a lot of voices out there. You really have to pay attention to who you're listening to. And here's the deal. Don't listen to people who undermine your faith in God. Don't listen to the atheists and the doubters and the people who have bad experiences and the people who are against large churches. You know, there's a lot of mentality that we are considered by just sheer numbers a mega church. We don't call ourselves a mega church, but we're a big church. And there's a lot of people that say, well, there's a big church, they're only interested in your money. No, we're not just interested in your money, and you can't group every church alike. Churches are like families, they are different. And this is a good one. And we love you. But if you listen to people who will tell you stuff, you got to be careful who you listen to. If someone came up to me tonight and handed me their business card and they had a lot of initials behind their name, said, I'm a doctor of relationships, and I can tell from being around your wife that she really is not sincere, that she's only married to you because of the opportunity it gives her, and she really is just looking to be opportunistic. She's not sincere. She's not a genuine person. You have problems in your relationship. I looked at all the initials behind his name. It would be stupid for me to look at him and go, really? Joy doesn't really love me? She just wants me for my money and my great looks? You could have wooed there, but we'll take that. How stupid would that be of me? Yeah. I've been married to her for 43 years. I know her. I know the relationship we have. And you, if you don't know her, you can't tell me a thing about my wife. Right? And if you don't know Jesus, you can't tell me a thing about him. So don't listen. If you start listening to someone, they start undermining your faith in the Bible, undermining your faith in God, undermining your faith in church, cut it off. Jesus said, be very attentive to what you hear. Now, here's just a checklist. Who are you listening to? Does what they say line up with scriptures? What is the spirit behind their words? When I say, is it critical? Is it divisive? Or does it build the body of Christ? Guys, it's so easy to criticize. It's so easy. Listen, the church has enough critics. We need somebody going, hey, we're still a family. And we may not agree on everything, but if we can agree on Jesus, that's enough right there. We can stop right there. And you better watch. You might be parked next to one of these guys in heaven anyway. So just... let's not be critics. But is it divisive? Is it critical? Here's the third one, fourth one. Can you verify their life? What kind of fruit do they have? 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, says, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Here's the reason for church. Another one. That word recognize is actually the word know. You see, what the idea of a local church is, you get to see the same people. You get to see our lives. We live with you. You run into us out in the community. You see us. We're real. We're down here. We talk to you. And you get to know us. You get to see our relationships. You get to see our kids. But you can verify our lives. And you need to be, what's the fruit? I don't want to listen to someone who thinks they're an expert and has no fruit. I don't know what their life is like. I don't know what their family life is like. I don't know what they're like. But you know us. We're here with you. Been here for 29 years. Plan on staying a lot longer. But we're with you. And so you can go, I know. A lot of these folks on YouTube, we have no idea who they are. True. When the Bible says, know those who are among you, you need to have some verify. You need to be able to talk to some people and ask questions. And this is why, oh man, listen, we've got a great staff here. We've got great leaders here. We got people you can talk to. We got people lead classes that you can see year after year. And you can say, here is something I can go with. Is their life verifiable? Here's the last one. Listen to the witness of the Holy Spirit in you. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he'll tell you things to come. Have you ever been listening to someone and something on the inside of you goes, it's not good. Cut it off. Just don't listen. So I've been listening to so-and-so. He makes me so mad. Don't listen. Now, we're not talking about me. But you understand what I'm saying. Listen, guys, I think the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart today. It's a warning. Be careful who you listen to. You need people who build up your faith, people who glorify Jesus, not themselves, people who point to the Scriptures, not their opinions. Be careful who you listen to. What this woman did was not easy. She was not allowed to be in the crowd with her condition. Technically, it was unlawful for her under Jewish law, this little lady again, to be in that crowd because she had a bleeding condition. She should not have been among people, according to Jewish law. She had to push past people blocking her way to Jesus. Said there was a crowd around Jesus. In fact, there was such a crowd around Jesus. When Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" The disciples are looking at him going, "Jesus, seriously? Everybody's touching you." And if you understand anything about Middle Eastern culture, I will tell you this. Their body space and our body space is different. If you've been in foreign, some of you who've been in foreign countries know what I'm talking about. Some of you who are married to Italians know what I'm talking about. It's people, Southerners will give you some, especially Texans. It's a big state. We'll give you some space. You ever had someone who's just a close talker? They just get all up in your face? Bless their hearts. But Middle Eastern cultures, man, they will crowd in and so you could imagine the crowd around Jesus, and this woman is having to push her way through the crowd. And it's not like they're going to go, "Oh, please, ma'am, go right ahead." They're all trying to touch Jesus themselves. She had to push past them, and she also had to push past all the people who touched Jesus and didn't get anything. So she's got some obstacles. Now, here's something about our faith, guys. The idea that if it's God, it's easy is not accurate. Oh, if it's God, it's going to be easy. If the Lord's in it, it's going to be easy. No, if the Lord's in it, it'll certainly work, but it doesn't mean it's easy. The Lord spoke to our hearts to start this church 29 years ago. It wasn't easy, but he was in it. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight, why would he tell him to fight the good fight of faith? Like, I hear people say, "I'm not a fighter." Well, this is the kind of fight you want to be in. This didn't fight with people. This is, what are we having to fight? We're having to fight to believe what we can't see past our feelings. We're having to fight sometimes to push past people who would stop us or criticize us or block us or have experiences. You ever been just really, you're praying and trusting and asking God for something, and someone is telling you about how God doesn't answer those prayers or how God doesn't do that anymore and how God's not a miracle worker? You're going to have to fight your way past them. When Joy was so deathly sick, there was a lady down the street that kept telling her about people who died with what she had and people that God didn't heal anymore. And I have a sick mom with three little children, one baby, and she keeps telling about that she just ought to be happy with what she had and just give glory to God. And I finally said, "You're not coming back in my house again." I said, "Well, that's not very pastoral." Well, I wasn't a pastor. But the bottom line is, I didn't need my wife having to fight those words all the time when she was having to fight to believe that she could get well and that God would heal her. And by the way, he did and she is. And so that's the good news. But you may have friends who look at you and go, oh, don't do that Christian stuff. Don't give me that believing God stuff. Don't give me that. You just have to work your way past them. Fight the good fight of faith means I'm going to continue to believe God regardless whether anybody else around me does or not. I'm going to continue to believe God whether my family gets in agreement with me or not. I'm going to continue to believe God. Because if you will, then when things get really rough and after they watch your life, they're going to call you, go, hey, listen, I got this situation. Would you pray? And everybody wants somebody who can connect with God. And you can be that person. Fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to continue to believe even though I don't see. She said her words as well as her actions were based on what she heard and believed. She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Now the Greek here implies she kept saying that. If I'm going to touch his clothes, you can just imagine her coming through the crowd going, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be well. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be well. That's what she believed. She was speaking what she believed in her heart about Jesus. Her words were based on what she had heard. Now, I'm going to leave you with this. We'll have to pick it up next week. Your words can be based on what you hear and see in the scriptures. Jesus was the living word. This is his word. And so when we find things in the scriptures, we can say the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know this one. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So can you say, if you've made Jesus your Lord, I am a new creation in Christ? You can say that. That gives you a basis for saying that. You can say, you put up the next one. Here's a good one. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin. Jesus didn't sin. God made him the punishment for sin. For us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might have right standing with God in him. Now, can you say, if you're in Christ, if you've made Jesus your Lord, can you say, I have right standing with God? Yes. I didn't hear too many yeses on that. Yes. Yeah. You can say what the scripture says about you. What I said tonight when we sang that song, my God is bigger, better, greater, stronger. We sing it. Yes. Let's say it. You get in your car tonight, you're driving home going, thank you, God. You are bigger, better, greater, stronger than anything in my life. Thank you. I'm a new creation in Christ. My spiritual condition completely changed when Jesus became my Lord, and I became in right standing with you. Put the next one up. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can we say when we mess up and we confess it, Lord, you thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven me and cleansed me of all unrighteousness. Well, what if you messed up yesterday? Do you have to wait? Do you need to do penance? I know some of you come from a background maybe where you think, well, I've got to do this. Do you have to beg God to forgive you? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And so after we've prayed and after we've missed it, by the way, everyone does. Say, Alan, you seem to know that verse. Yeah, I know this verse. Because I've had to go to this verse time and time again. Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. Forgive me. And then I say, thank you for forgiving me and cleansing me. I say, well, I don't feel like God's forgiven me. That's where the fight of faith comes in. I'm going to go based on what I believe and when I'm convinced that I do not see or do not feel. Amen. So we can say, why is that important? So you don't walk around for 2 weeks condemned and feeling horrible about yourself and the enemy just uses you as a punching bag and telling you what a horrible Christian you are. That's not what God has for you. It's like, let's get the forgiveness, let's get the cleansing, and let's get on with life. Amen. Now here's the last one. who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Leave that one up there. Now there's something. So if you're brave enough, you ought to say, Lord, thank you that you bore my sins on your body on the cross. And I want to thank you, Lord, that I am dead to sin and I live for righteousness. Some of you are thinking, oh, that's not me. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And how about this one? By whose stripes you are healed. Oh, gosh, guys, this verse has been big in my family for years. And when sickness has come and when disease came and when life-threatening things came, I am so glad that we had a promise. Yes, Jesus isn't walking down the aisles of the church that we can touch the hem of his garment, but we've got his word, and that is a sure word of promise. So we can hang on to that. We're doing what this little lady did, and you can do what she did. That you just fight through, you begin to say, thank you, Lord. I'm yours. I'm a new creation. I've been made right with you. I am forgiven. I am dead to sin, and I'm alive to you. And by your stripes, I am healed. Thank you for that. That's good. Now, real quick, when you first start saying some of these things, it will feel weird because we haven't said stuff like this before. And so you start saying it, and it's going to feel funny in your mouth. Kind of like, I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God. Forget your feelings. You just keep saying it. Because you're not saying it based on a feeling. You're saying it based on what God has said about you. And that gives you a lot of authority just to say what he said. A lot in this. But let's talk like we sing. Let's talk about how good God is. Let's talk about he's helping us. We were driving up here, Joy, because I drive her more now when her foot got hurt. We're driving together, and we were talking about a situation that we're dealing with in our family. I know you think our family never has any situations. And Joy said something I just thought was so good. She said, you know, God has helped us in this and this. He will help us in this. I'm like, that's exactly right. I'm glad we're getting this. I'm glad we're learning as a church. I'm glad we are getting stronger in our faith. I'm glad we're getting stronger in God. We are a problem for the enemy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your help and your strength. Thank you, Father, that we can be people who follow close to you. And we give you all the praise for that. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this evening and you say, Alan, or you're watching online, you say, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure that I do, or I used to, and I've gotten so far away from God and I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come down to the front, but sitting in your seat right where you are, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to make a connection with God that lasts for eternity. If that's you that I'm talking to, though, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you say, Alan, I don't know where I stand with the Lord, but I want to, or I want to come back, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up real quick across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. That's wonderful. Thank you. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand and wanted to, you can still get in on this prayer. It's a good prayer. It's a prayer from the heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family online. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer, for those who've come from spiritual darkness into the light, and for those who've come back. Lord, we rejoice with them. Thank you that we're learning, we're growing, we're developing, getting stronger every day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.